chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. I appreciate you being in the house of God. It's been a good week for me. It's always a great blessing to be with these people here in this church and take care of you. Seem like they just know how to make everything just right. And I appreciate it. I begin reading in verse number 28. I said last night I might preach this message. And so I'm going to do that tonight. I'm going to read and then I want to say some things about the message before I preach it. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he has purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears. I want to preach tonight on wolves. It's important to me. God woke me up in the night some time ago and told me to study wolves. I thought that it was for a Sunday message and began to study and thought 2 hours would be plenty. And that I'd have all God wanted me to know about the wolves in order to preach it. Little did I know what God had in mind. And so I began to study what I had. Nothing, absolutely nothing in Bible literature that I could find that told me anything about the wolves as referred to in the Word of God. The word wolf or wolves is used some 13 times in this authorized version. And it's not jackals or coyotes, it is wolves, and don't let the translators tell you any different. God knew what to say, and what he said is absolutely, as always, 100% right. And I searched the other men's libraries and absolutely nothing. And began to go to outside county libraries and did find what I was looking for in part, and began to read and study the wolf and the wolf's nature, and went then to Battleground, Indiana, where they have wolves kept in a controlled environment, acres and acres and acres of territory, and there observed and studied the wolves, not to for show, but because God told me to study. Now, I want you to keep in mind, and I'm going to go through this as fast as I can and try to touch everything I need to touch, and I cannot get through it tonight. I talked to Brother Larry about preaching this and got his permission and Brother Neesmith's permission, and they not only agreed to it but expressed the need for it. And so I'm doing this as humbly as I know how. When I preach this kind of message, and I have to leave my way of preaching because in this I use notes and have to use notes because of the volume of the thing. And it's a little hard for me to get loose talking about wolves. But under God's command, I gladly do what I'm doing tonight. Now, I'll be reading these notes and talking from it tonight. And I want you to understand, pastors, and a lot of you have heard me preach it before, and that as I talk about wolves and their habits and what they do, I want you to apply it to folks that you know and inside the church. Now, if Paul knew what he is talking about, if he really was writing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, what he said was true, that there are wolves today in the churches, and he did know, and it was inspired, and there's wolves in the churches and in Baptist churches, and there is more than likely at least one wolf in your church. And I didn't know any wolves, I didn't think, until I got to study them, and then I found them under every leaf, and everywhere I go there's more than one. And every revival that I get into, because I've studied these and their nature,
I spot them wolves, and every time the wolves, the folks that I say are wolves, turn out to be wolves. And the pastor will say, well, that's one of the best I've got. But later on, he'll call me back and say, you was right. The old wolf struck last Sunday. Now, a wolf is a wolf is a wolf. The scientific classification is Canis lupus, and that just means that that's what they're all into, and they're divided and into other classifications. But understand now that they've all come back down and decided that all them wolves started under this one classification. And so the truth here is that a wolf is a wolf is a wolf. And it doesn't make any difference if he's a black wolf or a white wolf or a red wolf, or if he's a playing golf on the golf course, or running up and down the road with his shorts on, or doing this or that down yonder, talking to the ladies that he oughtn't to be talking to in the supermarket. A wolf is a wolf is a wolf. Now, it might get a tad rough and bloody. You can't talk about wolves and write about wolves and keep everything peaceful and just use good, clean child language. And I don't mean that, and I'm going to get to unglued and use language I ought not to use. But we're talking about killing. We're talking about blood. And we're talking about slaughter. And we're talking about the slaughter of sheep, God's people. And the all wolves, if they are true wolves, belong to the devil. And you may have somebody in your church that has one or two characteristics of the wolf and not be a wolf. But thank God, if he's got the characteristics that I'm going to give to you tonight, he or she is a wolf, and it may help you to spot and find out the trouble that you're having in the church is because they're wolves. And I want to say to you, you do not tame a wolf. You do not pet him until he gets to where he loves you. Now, he'll may calm down for a while and let you pat him and love him. But it'll not be long till he'll eat your arm off, and he'll have one of your youngins and gone with him. And you'd better pay attention to what I'm going to tell you tonight about the wolves. Now, there's three words used in the Bible to describe these wolves. First of all, ravenous, the wolves. And that means that they hungrily and greedily take by force what they want. And after a while, you'll get to seeing that you've seen that in the church. And if God will help me to do this fast enough and give enough time, you'll understand that there's no mercy in a wolf, that he's a ravenous beast. And he seeks to, it says, to seize. Now, get this out of the dictionary. Devour, to seek, to seize, prey, or plunder. Extremely hungry and greedy for gratification and ravening. And the other, the second one is evening wolves. These are what's mentioned in the Bible. And I didn't understand about that, how an evening wolf is different from a morning wolf. And so I prayed and got to thinking about that. And I decided you can have a day service a lot easier than you can a night service. And there's something about the wolves won't come out at night. And they'll lay around the pen and in the daytime, you know, and take care of things around the den. But when night gets, they begin to come out and begin to howl. And they're taking care of business. You know, they got a lot of things to take care of in the daytime, and this can't get the daytime service. But at night out they come, and they come greedy and hungry. And amen. And if you'll learn that, thank God, that's why you can have a night service. It's hard, and the wolves are out. And when you come in for a day service during the revival, the wolves have got other things to do, and ain't nobody much there but the sheep. And thank God, you can have a better service. Grievous wolves is another adjective used. And wherever they go, that's what it means, that they leave a trail of grief and sorrow. Doesn't make any difference if it's your granny or if it's the best uncle you've got. If he's a wolf, he's going to leave grief and sorrow. Now, I want you to understand, I don't care who it is, how close a kin they are to you, if you're going to pastor a church, you better recognize that it's a wolf, and there ain't but one thing to do with a wolf, and that's to kill it, to get rid of it, run it off if you can. Do anything you have to do in order to get, don't be nice to a wolf. As I told you a while ago, they'll eat your children while you're attacking them. Run them off, run them off, run them off. Well, the voice of the bleating sheep and the howl of the wolf never do harmonize. Ain't no way in the world you can get them to harmonize. Now, I think, and I've been taught, and I only think this, I don't know. But they say the bees hum in a minor key. That all the animals make their noises. Cows bawl in a minor key, and the birds sing in a minor key. And I think that's right after much study, except for the sheep. And I think a sheep bleats in a major key. Now, you musicians don't know what I'm talking about. You can't hardly harmonize. And a major and a minor, you just can't hardly harmonize. Ain't that right, singers? And that's why if you've got somebody in your choir that sings about an eighth of a step off all the time and never can get the timing of the song, you better watch. There's something wrong. You say, preacher, I got one here. You better watch. I'm telling you, there are some that have one characteristic or two of a wolf and not a wolf. But if they never harmonize, and they always want to sing the wrong kind of songs, and I'll get to that after a while, you better watch out. You got a wolf somewhere. If they all ever want to sing is some contemporary junk, and they won't instruct your choir leader, I don't see why we want to sing all these songs in 4/4 and 3/4 and 6/8 time, and what we need is to get that all them songs out of Nashville, you know, where they strum and sing and nobody can beat time to it. Under God, realize you got a wolf on your hand and go back to the old hymns of Zion. All the wolves want to be the leader of the pack. And they'll fight for that position, male and female. Now, in the wolf pack, they have among cows, you got a button order. I mean, everybody knows who the main cow is. That's right, ain't farmers? And the pigs, they all have a squealing order. Everybody knows who the big pig is. And the chicken has pecking order. I mean, everybody knows who the big chick is. And they avoid them. And wolves also have an order. And their order is classified by us as alpha wolves. And on down the line to the omega wolf. And the omega wolf is the one that's on the outside of the pack altogether. And what we know is a lone wolf. And God will help me. I'll talk about him after a while. He's a mighty mean character. But the alpha wolves are controlled, in absolute control of the pack. And if they come to your church, if wolves move in, you know, down yonder the church is split and they decide to come to your place, more likely you've got a pack of wolves. But in that pack of wolves, there'll be an alpha male and there'll be an alpha female. And they absolutely run things. Now, I've got a whole lot of the book written on this and I promise to complete it this year. And it'll not be a book really, just a book left. I ain't got sense enough to write a book. The male, that alpha male, and he's always there and he's dominant, and the wolf in the pack will bow to him except that alpha male female, and they control everything, even to which wolves have pups and which wolves don't. And I'll discuss that at more length as I write, and obviously for the content I can't get into it in the pulpit, but they absolutely control what you know is the marriage is absolutely controlling. And if that alpha female and that alpha male in your church, they'll get to place after a while that they'll match boy and girl together. And that alpha wolf, if you ain't careful, he'll steal your wife and control the marriages in the church. Yes. And that alpha male will always run at the head of the pack. That's his place. Nobody else better not. I try to get the head of the pack except the alpha female. And there's a lot of times that alpha female will run at the head of the pack. But she's letting the male run ahead of her. She's in charge. But she's letting him run ahead. And every once in a while he can be seen to look back at that alpha female to see if he's running all right. Y'all are coming along with me, ain't you? Now, down at the church house, this alpha male and alpha female work the same way. And they've all already organized over yonder at John's house and decided how they're going to vote before the business meeting comes up. And they'll always have that alpha male. But now the alpha female may be in charge, but she'll tell her husband what to say and how to vote before he ever gets up. And the motions he makes will be her motions and not his. Boy, having a good time. And they got that order. And they will not, absolutely, will not break that order. I went to that wolf compound. They had wolves and another section had coyotes. And I wanted to hear the wolves howl. And I couldn't. She said on Sunday night, she said the wolves don't want to howl in the daytime, but they'll howl at night. You need to get that too. But she said that we can't hardly make them howl in the day. And I said, yeah, but I can't come tonight. And she said, fuck. I said, we can't make them howl. And lo and behold, we was walking around through the compound, and I heard an eerie sound. And she stopped bewildered and said, that's strange. The pack is howling. And God said, son, I brought you up here to learn. And he said, I'm howling them wolves. Thank God. Now, I noticed when we got on over to the coyote pen, she said, now, I can make these birds howl. And she cleared her throat and howled. And I'm going to tell you, the hair stood up. And I said, Lord have mercy, about Haskin. And about that time, every one in coyotes, they began to howl. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's some people, them alpha females, more than anybody else, can make the rest of the pack howl.
I'm sorry, ladies, but that's the way it is.
Amen. Hell and wolves work for themselves and for their own bellies. Working for you, not working for your church. They're working for themselves. They're never working for the good of the church. They're working for themselves. And I'll not hang on these very much. So much to tell. And wolves won't howl just almost never unless they can lift their head. And I come across that last night, and I won't say it again. Some of you here tonight, Pastor, that was not here last night, they'll have to raise that head. And a little later on in the message, I'll howl for you. But they'll raise that head. And I tell you what you'll do. If you keep that head preached down, there won't be much howling. But if you ever put them at the head of a committee and give them charge of something to where they can get their head up, they'll howl on you. But if you call sin, sin, and name it, I mean to where they'll know who you're talking about, they'll keep their head down, and it'll be awful. Did y'all ever see a dog howl his head down? Never did. He's always got that head up, and that's the way to... And hey, if you keep that proud head preached down, there ain't God you can get the job done. And you better run them off. We'll get out of some more of that after a while. And wolves versus sheep. Now, it's a shame that I have to go into this. It looks like every one of you could bring a wolf and a sheep up here, and you'd immediately say, that's a wolf, that's a sheep. But that ain't the way it is. I see wolves that pastors have got teaching Sunday school. Evidently, they can't tell wolves from sheep. Some of them wolves are the lead singer in the group at the church, and evidently the pastor can't tell the difference in the sheep. And I want to tell you some differences. First of all, their coat's not the same. Boy, that's real simple. And if you got somebody in the church and you can't ever get them to dress like a sheep, and they won't always dress like the wolves, and you can't get them out of, you can't get them to quit wearing shorts and bikinis and ungodly dress and looking like Jezebel and Tammy, it's more likely you've got a wolf on your head because a sheep wants to dress like a sheep. Can you imagine me making a sheep mad? So now I'll tell you what your sheep need to do. You need to wear wool. Can you imagine sheep getting that? It's all right. That just comes natural. We don't have no trouble with that. A wolf and his coat's got to be gray, and he'll waller in something and change his color. And hey, you can talk to a wolf and a sheep, and once in a while, this is so, there's folks in the church that are sheep that have so been influenced by the wolves that you'll run into a little trouble once in a while getting them to understand that they need to have wool on. And by the way, a sheep have wool all the way down. And I mean, even my chicken has feathers down to its knees. We're talking about what's natural. Amen. Thank God. But that wolf, brother, he'll do what he determined. He'll grit their teeth on you and say, I'll dress like I want to, and it's none of that preacher's business. A sheep, it'll not make you mad when the preacher says you ought to dress so and so. You'll say, hey, man, that's natural. But you'll know from now on, all these preachers are sitting here, if you rebel against what the preachers are talking about, of the way you ought to dress, and you keep rebelling, you've got a wolf nature about you. You say, preacher, you're talking to me? I'm talking to you. The ears is not alike. What is that? The wolves have an ears. And I'm going to tell you, the sheep. Sheep always wants to look at things that's good for its own food. And hunt a place where there's peace and content. And look for still waters. Peaceable thing. And while I'm right in there, a sheep will not give peace at any price. That sheep will gain and fight for its own young ones. But it's a peaceable animal. Now, I won't tell you because you're a sheep, don't mean when trouble comes, you hump up and say, I'm a sheep. I'll go ahead and eat me if you want to. I'm a sheep. No, sir. That's peace at any price. And that's wretched. Thank God, fight for what's right. But if you're a sheep, at the center of your heart throb is peace and harmony. Amen. That means you won't fuss and cuss in the business meeting. Amen. As long as it's scriptural, you'll be for it. And if the preacher wants to paint the walls green polka dotted, you'll say, hallelujah, preacher. I'll furnish the green polka dot and furnish the brass that makes the spots. And that wolf is always looking for something to eat, for a place to lay down. Watch it. See where his next meal is coming around your church and watch it for something to pay. We're talking about this brother's church. I'm talking about your church. They're in there. And you better speak to them and do something about it before it's eternally too late. And their ears are different. They won't listen to different things. Sheep always want that peaceful sound, that peaceful wind, the breeze and the trees, babbling of the brook, as long as it's not a real wild brook. Hey, I hear the brook paddle. And they want it to. And music. They love that. And that sheep listens to the shepherd's voice. That's what they want to get in. There's something about that shepherd's voice that soothes him. And you can't hardly study wolves without studying some sheep too, you know. And they listen. And I saw somewhere where a shepherd, I was reading this, and he had to leave the flock for a little while one day to go to town, just an emergency. And he had a fellow to come out there about the same size and said, now, I'll put on my coat. And put on all my shoes and my clothes, absolutely. And get your staff. And he said, I'll walk you up there and let you walk inside of them sheep at the top of the hill where they can't see me. And you stand there till I get back. And he said, no matter what happens. He said, they'll see you stand there and think it's you. But he said, no matter what happens, don't you say a word. He said, if the wolf comes, he said, whatever happens, don't you talk. If somebody comes up, don't you talk. Whatever comes, if one of them sheep gets out of line, don't you talk. For the first words you say, that whole flock will flee in terror. You see, the sheep know the master's voice. And when they hear a strange voice, that means if you're a sheep and you're under the shepherd, and you're down at the supermarket, and that other shepherd over yonder that's a sheep thief goes to talking to you, you'll get your kids and run to the car and get back up here in this church and say, here's where I belong. That over there's not the shepherd. Amen. I said, there it is. Wolves adapt to the blend of their surroundings. They come in your church, you preach against television, they throw those away. Bless God, we hate them TVs preaching like you do. We're so glad to find somebody that's preaching on separation. they'll blend. But if you go down to their house, if it's not sitting in the living room, but if they know you're coming, they've unplugged it and pushed it in the closet. Where they can get back out on Super Bowl Sunday. And what's the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Are you seeing some wolves now around here? And do you see more as time goes on? And I'm a pushing now and a pressing and trying to get all in I can to help you. And the Lord, they'll blend and they'll dress like you're a crab's hair man, preacher. Thank God for somebody to preach on dressing right. This is the kind. And they'll come to you after service and say, this is what we've been looking for. We've traveled the hills and the hollers all over the state to find a church like this. But down inside of them, they're waiting till they get their membership in the church. That's one reason when we have a baptizing, we baptize in the creek and raise snakes in the creek. And just about every time I'll tell them candidates that there's snakes down in the aisle of my deacon. And we used to baptize just up a little ways in the edge of the river. And there's really in there. And we'd see them old water snakes, harmless. But you couldn't tell them young girls that. And a whole lot of them men. And so, but I'll tell you what the sheep will always say. Boy, I hate this. But I believe it's the Lord's will. But them wolves, not having the Lord's will in them, sadly, we'll wait a while. They blend real good to their surroundings. Boy, I wish I had time to take care of you some things. Wolves love cold regions. Now, you get me? I hope I don't have to go through that and explain it to you, boy. Where all that heat is, they don't like it. They'd rather have it where they're comfortable in their kind of clothing and you know, just stay around kind of where it's pretty cool and where they ain't too much of shit. Now, they don't care for hollering. They'll get right in on that. And if you applaud after singing, they like all that kind of stuff, you know, and all that. Boy, they love all of that. They ain't no heat for that. And all the Sunday school and these vacation Bible schools, you know, where you build all them birdhouses and serve that lemonade and Kool-Aid and them cookies. They like all that stuff, them wolves do. And they always want programs for the young people. Boy, yeah. If you got that, if you ain't got it, they'll probably leave your church hunting for somewhere that's got programs for the young people. But I'm going to tell you after a while what their program is for their young people. But thank God if there's any heat around the house of God, they get untouchable. They love cold regions. And I need to talk on that some more, but actually, I must hurry on. Wolves, it's been proven, can read fear and aggression and emotions in humans and other animals. They can read them animals, see whether they're afraid or not before they get there. Boy, they love to see that little old lamb just standing. They just froze them in fear. There's two things that wolf fears, really, really, really. And that's man, and especially a man that's not afraid of him, and father. They really do are afraid of him. But they can read that. And if they come to your church and see that you get kind of like that, we love everybody. We just preach love around here and just preach the Bible and the New Testament. And everybody's welcome here. And you come as you are. And we'll not make this, and we guarantee you, we'll love you in so many ways. You'll just like that past love some of them. Boy, they like that. They can read that weakness and wimpishness in you. And they say, let's go to digging. This is our den. But if they come in, where is an old man of God? You get up and say, under God, I hate seeing ungodly. I got up one morning, I was shaving one morning, and the Lord spoke to my heart and said, that deacon of yours, that is so strong for you. That Peter, if you'll show, you're a warrior. I told you last night about the little lamb, a grazing. He contented. That little old tail that's wiggling in contentment. And right over the hill there laid a wolf. He knows he's there, and everybody knows he's there. The little lamb knows he's there, but for some reason you're not afraid. And the wolf gets a bother. And you think, what's going on here? You know, he knows I'm there. I've seen him look at me right now. Yet he's not afraid. I look back up on the bank, and there stands a shepherd with a 66 caliber on his shoulder, thank God. He let me look on his face. And that wolf said, I better get out of here. Amen. I mean, they can read fear and they can read the wimpishness in you. And thank God, preacher, if they're in your church, don't back up and lay down and say they're going to take us apart. Thank God, be a warrior. We'll live and walk on, work on when game is available. Well, there's so much in that I can't tell you. Boy, that's a game in our churches. That's just, they told me up yonder among them wolves. They said, now, where wolves are, and they're getting to be more and more, they turn loose now in the Carolinas. And as the deer get more numerous and they turn loose elk, I believe it was the elk in Kentucky, that they turn loose. And when they do that, well, the wolves will come in. And they'll just go where there's game. And she said, well, the worst thing a farmer can do is have a little old weak calf and leave it out there. Realize it's going to die and know it's going to die, and instead of knock it in the head and leave it laying out there, or just leave it standing there and drive the cows to the barn and leave it out there and let it die and eat my food with it. And then we'll spot them weak animals. They know they're out there. And they're in our churches, them weak Christians. And that's where them wolves will gravitate to. If they know there's one of your members that's a little bit soft on keeping you for another year or two, they know exactly what to find you. And I want to tell you, preachers, this now, when you go on the field, you just can't tell a wolf just by walking up and looking at him, unless, I mean, he just, it's so obvious. But time to watch the first family that takes you home with them. Y'all will get to thanking you preachers after a while that loves you so good they run the campaign to get you in, and they want to feed you every Sunday till you leave. You know, you better be awful careful about that bunch. They'll turn to getting you after a while if you ain't careful. You only keep game back. Now she also told me this, and I'll go ahead and bring this in, and I'll try to wrap up here soon. I don't want to get in the way of the service. I just felt so bad about maybe interfering, but God wanted me to do this tonight. She said, now the best thing you can do to ward off wolves off of your stock. And I told her I was a preacher. But I said, I want you to talk to me about wolves. Just forget all about that. And boy, the story she told me, some things that I just couldn't write down. No way in the world. But she told me, said, the best thing you can do now is have a guard dog. Said, I mean, a guard dog is not afraid of a wolf. It's invaluable in keeping him off his stuff. Well, I'll tell you, preacher. Now, a guard dog is just naturally, he's not just a little old loving collie dog, you know, or a chihuahua. He's just a pretty big dog, and sometimes he's pretty rough at the church house. I mean, he has business meetings sometimes. You say, preacher, what do you want to do? And he just got a rough neck. And sometimes, if he thinks you're wrong, he'll say, what's the matter, you preacher? Just by nature. And I tell you what, don't kill him now. He may save your life one day. You kind of feed him. You may have to kind of keep him on a chain. But you just kind of feed him and take care of him. And I've got church members here, and they know some of these things, and some things I'm not going to say, but because they'll know exactly, and some things I'm going to say, they'll know exactly who I'm talking about. And I had a fella in my church, and he came from another church, and he came to me and said, I want to join the church. Preach, I want to join the church. And I said, all right, as I know we'll take you in, but I said, you've been a deacon where you are, you can't be a deacon in my place. I said, if you want to, oh, he said, that don't make any difference to me. He said, I just want to get in under your preaching and be in your church and just be a part of it. He's related to me. And he said, I just want to just be in. And I said, oh, we'll take you in. And we took him. It wasn't very long. He come around. I guess it's probably 6 months. And I kind of see him sitting in his den, you know, looking things over. And he come and said, I want to ask you something, Richard. If you know of any reason why I couldn't be a deacon here? I said, yeah, not one or two. The first one is, I don't want you. And I said, that's enough right there. We'll just leave it right there. I do not want you for a deacon. But you see, he's a wolf. And he didn't stop there. He went to one of the deacons and said, I really feel like, and I've been a deacon, and I've tried to work for churches and help them out there, and the preacher's kind of against this. And what I'd kind of like for us to do, just at business meeting, just one of y'all get up and say that we ought to do that and just bring it to a vote and just leave the preacher standing there. And them two, they're good men, but they just kind of said, well, they're all buddies, you know. But he got around to my guard, though. And he said, called him by name and said, honey, do you know any reason why I shouldn't be a deacon here? And he said, yeah. He said, my preacher don't want you. And I don't want you. And he said, you're a rogue. And your wife don't know where she belongs to church and runs up and down the road spreading gossip all the time. And shut your mouth about it or I'll get you.
Sweet little guard dog. They so hard on it.
Amen. Maybe you got a guard dog. Don't run him off. If he's any way spiritual at all, if he's for you, just kind of hook him up every Sunday. If he looks growly, you just hook him up a little while and feed him good and regular. Tell him you love him. One day he'll save your hide. Usually there's no such thing as a lone wolf. He does. He's what's called peripheral wolf, the omega wolf. He stays on the outer bounds. They will not have anything to do with him, and nobody's ever found out why. He can't find that. It's all of a sudden turn against him. He'll just scavenge for his own food and beg for the crumbs. But after a while, he's done so much on his own that he gets wiser than the rest of them. And I'll tell you what you do. If he comes around your church, a lot of times his IQ is higher than yours. And he'll tell you that too. It makes you know that he's scholarly. And he can probably read Greek, you know. And he's probably been married twice. I guess I better get back to wolves here. Thank God. You better watch them fellas that's been lone wolves. They've been out there and scavenged around, and their IQ, and they're alone, and they'll bite you, and absolutely can defend their position in the Scripture. And if you'll listen to them, they'll about convince you that they're right and you're wrong. Oh, I know I'm right. I know some of them. I read after some of them. Amen. So I know them. That lone wolf. And the wolves are sooner a little rather live in another animal's den than a big rock. They don't care much about starting a church. They'd rather come down to your church where it's already set up for them, you know. And the light and heat's been taken care of. And I don't spend much time. Now, there's so much I need to say and will say in writing about the wolves and their pups that I want you to get this now. That them wolves, when them pups are in the den, and you know, too little go out and get on their own, they'll go out and swallow that food that they kill and then go back to the den and regurgitate it to the pups. And them wolves in the church, they'll go down there and digest all that stuff, and then when they get back to the tent dinner table and get started and get set down, they'll regurgitate all that to their kids. Say, praise God, I didn't care that much about what went on the first morning. You honey said, no, I didn't care a thing about it. And I want to tell you something else. If I have to listen to that stuff very much longer, we'll take it to me. And they won't absolutely, he wants us to dress a certain way and talk a certain way and do this and do that. And I'm tired of him being in charge and regurgitate all that junk to their kids and their pups. Y'all don't know about any of that, I don't get it. Amen. And adult wolves have no enemies except man and father. Wolves' actions are unpredictable. And there's a wolf in that. I knew about the wolf. I'd already read about him. And he was in that compound where he was going. Mickey was his name. We got back around where the coyotes were. And I said, man, I'm going to ask you something. Look at me. I said, can I see Mickey? I said, what do you know about Mickey? I said, I know about Mickey. Can I see him? She said, yeah, I think he's Mickey. And I went down there and looked at that Mickey wolf, and he looked different than the rest of them. He shut out his eyes. But he's different.
Now, there had been a family that had detained him. Because detained him and had him tied at their house, tied him to the garage. The little old boy would play around him, you know. This was... But one Sunday, they came home from church. And the little boy ran out there to play with the wolf. And when he got close to the wolf, he fell. And when he fell, he hurt himself. And he cried out. And when he cried out, there's something popped in that wolf's mind that there's a hurt animal. And he killed that little kid before they could even get to it. Now you go ahead and try to tame them birds if you want to. And go ahead and tie them to your choir. And let them, but it won't be long until somebody, a little weakling, will cry out. And he'll be gone with her somewhere to a motel and leave you standing your mouth open. And it may be close kin to you. Amen. Now when the wolf fails, and I've got to hurt, I wish I'd have looked at the time. When the wolf fails, the joy in the flock. And I'm going to leave out so much stuff, but I guess I better stop that there. Joy in the flock when the wolf fails. Always when that wolf comes and all them sheep and cattle will do it too, you farmers. When a strange dog comes, they'll all turn their face toward that dogs or wolves, and them calves will all get behind them. They'll put them calves behind them and they'll all work around and keep their head towards that wolf. And I'm going to tell you, that's what you better do when the wolves are around. Put them youngins behind you and put your head out front and stand up for what's right. Stand up for what's right. And there's something about when that wolf lunges and tries to get one of them lambs and they fight him off. And that little old lamb comes staggering back in, you know, and gets behind him again. You can see the joy in that little old flock of sheep. And hey, when that wayward girl's been out on her own street and the wolf had his fangs on her. And if you're not careful, you'll say, I knew it all the time. She's got bad blood in her. She'll come back in the church and come to the altar. And if you ain't careful, you'll say, I ain't nothing to that. If you've got any wolf flock sense about you, you'll say, praise God, she's back in the flock.
Amen.
I feel like I've done what God wanted me to do, and there's so much that's yet uncovered. But I want to hear this next man preach. Spirit, our hearts. And I get so hungry to hear the man. I get so tired of hearing my own voice. And I want to hear preaching. And I get so hungry. I love you, and I appreciate you being tolerant tonight. And if this didn't help you and touch you, why, you just clutch it. And after a while, somebody say something that will help you. I love you tonight, and I appreciate being in the meeting. And I'm going to tell you again, watch the wolves. They'll get your flock. They'll get preacher. They'll get your flock.